Turn off your lights. Make sure your doors and windows are locked. Things are about to get spooky.
Time Glitch in Washington State by Snuff. I posted this a few months ago, but I'm a Reddit rookie, new account, so I need some karma per the subreddit rules. Drove through a town stuck in the past. Okay, so this happened in April 2023. My mom and I were on a road trip in another state, driving on a state highway north of the major interstate, probably 60 or so miles. We wanted a better experience than the typical highway driving, so it was a great scenic route. We were driving through vast swamps of farmland and small communities spread out every 45 to 60 minutes of the drive. So we're out there, if you will, hours away from the nearest big city. It was absolutely beautiful, by the way. I was in the passenger seat, just enjoying the scenery. About three quarters of our way to the destination, the speed dropped to 25 and the road took a hard bent left turn into a small town. Unlike the other towns, where you could see them on the approach, slow down, and drive through them, this one came up abruptly and it kind of felt like the highway just dumped us into this town. It was very, very tiny, maybe three blocks total, and we were out. But what we saw was crazy. 50s themed diner, old gas station with that traditional pumps, a Wild West themed general store, and the craziest part? There were a handful of classic cars from the 40s and 50s that all appeared to be in great condition. It looked like they were just parked. There weren't any car shows or people walking around viewing them. My mom wanted to stop and get some coffee, but something in my gut was off and I said, "Hell no, this place is freaky." She then made a comment that it felt like the place was right out of the 50s and they kept the theme going. To me, it was giving major sundown town vibes, or something. I couldn't place my finger on it. Something was weird. It took all of 25 seconds to drive through and back to a faster speed limit, and we were off. We wrapped the vacation up a few days later, and that was that. I've recalled that experience quite a few times these past few months, and finally, last night, I wanted to look into this place. I traced our route on the Google Maps, and after searching for quite a bit, eventually found it and checked it out on Street View. Much to my surprise, the Street View looked nothing like my memory. The general store was different, the diner was different, and the damn gas station that was a cool retro pumps? Gone, and in place was an RV storage with a few tiny campers. The image date was from after our trip. Perfect, they changed it. No issue, I'll check on a picture for 2022, before our trip. Much to my utter horror, the only thing different in the older image were the campers. I asked my mom about it today, and she explained the town exactly as I remembered it. Then also brought up how I made a comment about feeling uneasy and how she wished we stopped anyways. Well, I showed her the Street View images and she got freaked out too. And yes, the town on Google Maps is the same one we drove through. There aren't any other places on the road that cut hard left. I'm 100% certain, and my mom was able to zoom in and eventually find it herself. Yes, I literally asked her to do that for my own sanity, because this is freaky. I've been looking through other experiences but can't find anything similar to this. Has anyone heard or experienced firsthand anything like it? My heart sank when I read the text, "They are coming," followed by my info. I quickly awoke my captor lying next to me, letting him know we'd have to prepare for our final stand against the police. Did I slip to another world? By Real Tension 7442. I was at school when a girl I barely knew approached me and started talking in an overly familiar manner. I didn't question it, as I realized that she was hitting on me, but eventually she said that she missed hanging out with me and Ryan. Ryan was a friend of mine, but not the kind of friend who I hung out with, and I certainly had never hung out with this girl. She was a year below me, so I didn't know her from any lessons or whatever. So as not to sound rude, I went along with it as she recounted all the dinner breaks we had spent as a trio. Again, this simply didn't happen. Long story short, we end up in a short relationship, but we're not compatible in parted ways. During this relationship, I did decide to ask her if retaining to know me was her way of flirting. She got quite offended at this. 2 years later, I'm walking down the street and a girl stops me and is over the moon to see me. I have no clue who this is, but she knows my name and, to be polite, I asked her how she's been and all that. She says that we have to catch up sometime and that I should add her on Facebook. A couple weeks later, I see her again and she asks me why I hadn't added her on Facebook. I played it cool, asking why she didn't add me. It's because she couldn't find me, which does actually make sense as I took my stepdad's name earlier that year. So I took a gamble and said that I couldn't spell her name, hoping that it wasn't Kim Smith or something. Luckily, it was hard to spell, so she writes it down. We meet up and she starts reminiscing of the times we spent together, and just like the first girl I mentioned, we were apparently a trio with another minor friend. I asked this friend, Haley, about her, and she confirmed that they were inseparable friends and found it hilarious that I couldn't remember her. But I always considered Haley to be a loner, so that surprised me. In conclusion, I've had two girls both claiming we were close friends, and I remember neither. Is this a strange way of hating on someone, or have I slipped realities? It's worth noting that I'm introverted, so I don't know how I seem to have made such an impression on these strangers, and I'm quite the loner. I'm unlikely to forget people who were friendly towards me. I also want to point out that I am not a believer in glitches. Love to read them, but mainly to ponder how they could be real. As an additional bit of information, I share no common interests with either girl. They only seemed interested because of my apparent bond we formed. Once we started speaking for, in my mind, the first time, they quickly grew bored and came strangers once again. In cases asked, neither girl knew anything too personal about me. Although the second one did casually mention that my mom and her dad worked together. I don't know how she knew that, but I got her dad's name and confirmed with my mom that he was a colleague of hers. Yesterday, history was made when we detected a radio signal from an intelligent species in a distant galaxy. This morning, a decoded and translated signal from 100 million light years closer appeared on a computer monitor that said, "We're coming." I've never been able to explain it. By JB Blitz 9. Years ago, when I was still but a teenager, living in a small home with my parents and younger brother, in around 2009 to 2010, it was the early morning. Having woken up about an hour earlier, my mom was telling me about how I was to take my younger brother to school later that day as she couldn't make it. Dad had already gone to work. Standing in the living room on the creaky floor, I see my brother descending the stairs to my left. It's one of those staircases where you can see just about the full flight with small wooden pillars lining the length of it. The gaps between those providing a clear view of those who was going up and down them. So my brother descends the stairs. Dull blue PJ bottoms that are slightly too big. PJ top of the same matching color. I see his tuft of dark brown hair and his excited skips in his way down the stairs. I hear the loud creaks of each step down the flight. I could swear I heard slight intake of air and hushed giggling. My brother back then was the excitable sort. He would sprint from place to place, bounce into things and people in his wake. Still true to a certain extent. So he comes bouncing down the stairs and reaches the living room floor. The floorboard creaks and now he's out of my sight. My eyes still mostly engaged in speaking with my mom. He rushes from my left around behind me. I feel the slight displacement of wind as he rushes past, a quick move as to not have him bump into me. I step forward to do this. "Sorry, Jay." I look to my right, expecting him to be there. Nothing. Not a soul. He was still upstairs, sleeping heavily. I turned to my mom, who had since turned away and walked into the kitchen. She saw my confusion. I spoke to her about it. She looked frightened. She has always been easy to fright. We don't speak often of it, but from time to time it comes up on a topic of spirits and stuff. I'm not a believer, generally, but nothing has felt quite like that. My mind plays games with me, making me hear and see things that were not there, or maybe they were. Because I could swear I saw him. I swear I heard him. Nowadays, I say it was out of the corner of my eye, but it was much more of a glance than that, and I simply haven't had the heart to admit it out loud. I try and explain away, and often do without telling the full story. But with all these details, I cannot. But I wasn't tired. I had been up for a while and had had a decent night's sleep before. I wasn't ill. I highly doubt the monoxide out, and I had never seen anything like this before or after. It just bugs me, and I can't reason with it. It's not even the biggest occurrence in the world, far from it. But I'm just at a loss. Seeing that my baby had already fallen asleep in my arms, I decided to also take a nap as soon as I finished putting all the frozen food I bought into the freezer. When I woke up, I realized that being a single mother had taken too much of a toll on my sleep schedule, as the water from the thawing bag of frozen fries dripped down my arm and chest. Lost an Hour by Legal Opportunity 851. Another post on the sub reminded me of my own experience losing an hour unexplained. I appreciate if anyone could make some sense of this for me. I was at work on a university campus. One of my consultants wanted to check in with me on a project over coffee. So I met him at a local coffee shop that was two buildings over from where I work. I met up with him at 11 a.m. Because I had a 12 p.m. appointment with a supplier, I sent a reminder on my phone for 11:45 a.m. and 11:55 a.m. so I could wrap up the conversation with the consultant in time for my 12 p.m. meeting. It's a coffee shop, so there wasn't any alcohol involved. I remember having a tea that I normally have, and I don't think I ordered any food. The consultant is a good friend. I've worked with him at other companies. He was stopping by, off the clock, to discuss recent trends in the higher education space to add to an article he was writing. Common practice in his industry. So my alarm goes off at 11:45 a.m. and 11:55 a.m., and we say our goodbyes. I walk back to my office, which is literally half a block at best from the coffee shop. I take the stairs up to my office, and I'm immediately greeted by the receptionist inquiring to where I was. She further explains that my supplier showed up on time, waited 15 to 20 minutes for me to arrive, then left in frustration. I remember looking at the clock on the TV screen at the entrance and seeing that it was 12:59 p.m. I then ran to my office and looked at my PC. It was 1 p.m. It was so surreal to lose an hour and have no idea how it happened. I don't feel lightheaded or compromised in any way. I was in a public setting the entire time. My phone was ringing the correct time when I double-checked it afterwards. I end up having to write a lengthy apology to the supplier. I meant to ask the consultant how much time we spoke for, but wasn't sure how to bring it up without sounding crazy, given that he was a professional contact. I didn't want to create any weird vibes. Any ideas? That sounds like your anxiety talking. I'm sure your friends don't really hate you. My last therapy session plays back in my head as I tread water 6 miles off the coast of Florida, the sound of laughter and a motor fading in the distance. Someone I knew died twice in two different ways, and it was in the newspapers. By Wildberry Quilting. I went to high school in a very small, one-stoplight sort of town. A few years after school, I was catching up with an old friend, and she told me how these two boys that we both knew pretty well had passed away. We will call them Josh and Sean. I asked what happened, and she sent me a news article about how they were working in a shop and an air compressor had exploded and killed them both. Fast forward a few years later, and somehow it came up in a conversation I was having with my dad. I decided to try to find the news article I had previously read about it. Instead, I found an article about how Josh had been shot by people who broke into his house looking for drugs. There was actually a lot of details in the article about the incident, and it was an unsolved crime. There was no mention of Sean at all, and I couldn't find any article about anything happening to him. I don't have any connections any longer to anyone in the town, so I can't check to see if anyone else remembers it the original way. It's just crazy because I remember vividly reading both articles. I know for a fact it wasn't just someone with the same name for two reasons. First, he has a very unusual last name, and it was a very small town. Second, there were actually pictures of him provided in both articles, and it was 100% the kid I knew from school. Another strange twist is that I looked up the story again just now to see if there was anything new. It seems the case was solved, and 4 or 5 people went to prison for it. The second story has also now been featured in an episode of a TV series that I never heard of. I'm considering trying to track it down so I can watch it. Went to the hospital to stop seeing the little girl everyone else can't see. When the medicine took effect, all I could do was act like my family and hospital staff were still there to trick her. A parcel that was never there. By Spider-Man. What I'm about to share just happened a few minutes before writing this post, and I swear to God this is true. I was told to pick up a parcel in our apartment mailbox before going home. As I was about to pick up the parcel, our mailbox did not contain anything other than an envelope for our electric bill. After getting the bill, I put my hand inside the box to thoroughly check if I missed it because the parcel was so small. After confirming there was nothing inside the mailbox, I then proceeded to call my girlfriend to tell her that the parcel was not left in the mailbox. I then talked to the security on duty to confirm if there was a parcel left under our name. And he told me to just double check, so I did, and when I got back, the parcel was there, right by the door of the mailbox. And it's not a small parcel, it's a plastic t-shirt, which would not have been missed by my hand while checking the first time. After that, I got goosebumps and realized it was a very weird for that to have happened. 1. Nobody might have put it back since I was just a few feet away from the mailbox. 2. The mailbox is 5 inches tall and wide, which by touch to the back wall means you've reached everything there is to reach. And 3, the gosh darn item is fitted in there that you need exert a little bit of pull force to even get it out. If anyone's experienced the same, please share, cause I'm thinking of supernatural occurrences aside from it being a glitch in the Matrix. Knowing that my abuser would eventually kill me the moment I was trapped with them, I planned to silently ask for help the last chance I got. But as I saw our guests and my soon-to-be wife joking about the wedding topper, a groom being dragged by the bride, I realized no one would take me seriously. Classic Object Doubling Story. By Croatoan178. This story isn't anything crazy, but it's always confused me. So I help out at a summer camp, and last year I was actually given the responsibility to do a little research project with the kids. Long story short, it involved each team of kids having a whiteboard to write their findings during the project down and present at the end. Rather than purchasing 5 whiteboards, I opted to get some large sheets of cardstock laminated so they'd be able to be used with a dry erase marker. I don't have pictures or receipts, but the amount of things I witnessed to confirm what I did in preparation for the project and how nothing was amiss till the day of the project is weird. So I originally got the idea for cheap whiteboards when I saw a pack of 5 big sheets of white cardstock at the store for a few dollars and was like, perfect, I'll do 5 teams. Took the package to the print shop to get them laminated. I bought 5, I said I wanted 5 laminated, they laminated 5, so no problem or comment on a miscount, and I paid for 5 laminations. Brought them out to my car and counted them. 5. Months later, after spending all that time setting up for the project for them, 5 envelopes of clippings of info on 5 ancient tablets, each put with a whiteboard to give to the 5 teams, I spent so much time around these 5 laminated sheets, so obviously went and handed out the pack of tools to each of the teams and found that I had 6 whiteboards, I was so confused. I ran around the room trying to find what team was missing their whiteboard, but each one had already. All 6 were the same, even all that had the cuts on the corner where I rounded the sharp plastic out with scissors so they wouldn't poke any of the kids. The worst scene I ever saw working for the FBI was a small family tortured to death. The worst scene I ever saw for CBS was where a deranged father tried turning his three daughters into a set of Russian nesting dolls. Missing Purse by Black Eyes. I have many stories like this, but today was the oddest one. After therapy, I was picked up and taken to a cafe, where I stayed until my roommate got off work. I picked up my purse, my Stream Deck, and moved out to the car. I said my goodbyes and placed my purse on top of the car before I left, and then took it and placed it in the car by my feet. I remember the familiar jangle of the keychain on it and the weight of my purse on my shoulder. But when we got home, my purse was nowhere to be seen. I looked in the back seat and under the front seat, but it wasn't there. So we drove back to the cafe, where my other roommate had put it behind the counter, claiming I left it on the chair for the table I was at. Me. Oh, I could have sworn I grabbed my purse. Thank you for putting it in the back here, though. Roommate A. I could have sworn you did too, but I saw it and thought I'd bring it home for you. Me. Today has just been odd, I guess. Roommate A. What do you mean? I then go on to explain a bit and say thank you again and return to the car. My other roommate and I believe in quantum immortality and the like, thinking our consciousness keeps switching to different dimensions. We joked about how the cafe might have been blown up or something, but to be safe, we took the back roads home. Let's see, Grandma should have a comma in it, otherwise people will think you want to eat me. Gram explained. Then she reminded me not to tell my parents where Grandpa went or what she had been feeding me while they were on vacation. Elevator Guy by Overhopeful. This happened a few years back at my college dorm. Roommate and I, both around the age of 19 probably, were coming back to the dorms after dark. It's one of those buildings where you have to scan your university ID card to get in, unless someone from the inside lets you in. There's no other way. We walk up to the building and see someone maybe 10 feet ahead of us scan their card and go inside. The key here is that he just was far enough ahead of us to where as soon as he goes inside and the door shuts itself, we are there scanning our IDs to open the door for ourselves. Once inside the lobby area, there is one elevator on either side. These elevators are maybe just around 10 feet from the entrance door where we had just walked in. As we walk inside the building, we see the person who went in before us walk inside the elevator and the door shuts just as we approach it. The same elevator he just got into. I press the button and to my surprise, the door opens instantly. Like, instantly. As soon as the doors closed, they were opening again, except this time, there was nobody inside. I hesitated, but walked into the elevator and pushed my floor button. The energy between me and my roommate felt tense, and I didn't say anything as I was trying to rationalize what I just saw in my brain. My roommate spoke up first, saying, "Did you see that guy?" And verified that I wasn't the only one who had seen it. We continued trying to come up with some kind of explanation and came to nothing. Even if the elevator guy only went up one floor, there was nowhere near enough time for the elevator to go up and come back down in time. Again, the doors closed with him inside mere seconds before they reopened, after I pushed the button. Never experienced something like this since then. Still spooks me. My dog has come to me for food every night since I got him a week ago. I'm not sure what will happen when I run out of limbs, but I'm almost out of fingers and all I can do is hope it will be quick. Random guy's personal info appears in Jeep. By Fresh Sleeves. First post on this sub. This past summer, my mother, works from home, so doesn't go out much, decided to turn in her lease early on her 24 Jeep Wrangler. Important to note, she's the first owner to get it with 3 miles. She never really went out other than shopping, and when she did, she would go with my stepfather. She figured herself and him could just share one car. So myself, mother, and stepfather took a day on the weekend to completely deep clean her Jeep before returning it to the dealership. It should be noted as well, my mother was very meticulous with keeping the car clean, so it was clean inside and out frequently. While cleaning, my stepfather pulls an envelope from under the passenger rear seat. It was thick like a book and sealed shut. Originally, I thought it was possibly the paperwork that came with the Jeep when she got it. When we opened it, it was all the information about a gentleman who lived 2 states over from us. And it wasn't just this guy's name or picture. It was sensitive info, like really private. Inside this envelope was a job application for a local police department, some copies of criminal records, he wasn't the best driver apparently, and all of his information including social security, legal copy of his birth certificate with the stamp, all his high school and college transcripts, and a legal copy of his license, as well as a letter to the chief of police. The thing that was more strange was that this information was dated back to 2014, almost a decade ago from when we found it. We managed to track down the guy through Facebook miraculously and got in touch with his wife. She stated that he hasn't been in law enforcement in years and has a totally new career. We asked if he worked in auto mechanics, to which she said no, and he had never even been to our state. Both my parents and I, as well as his wife, were completely stumped and couldn't find out how basically this guy's entire life info from a decade ago got into the back of a 2024 Jeep. Curious to know what others may think. My heart sank when I saw there was no vitamin supplements in my father's food delivery. Once you've been deemed a burden in the colony, valuable perishables are no longer given, and soon you must take the jump. And with that, our time together is coming to an end. And real quick, if you have a story you'd like me to narrate, you can send it in 2 different ways. Either go to my website and hit submit stories, or I have an email address as well. And remember, you can always ask to be anonymous as well. And of course, I'd like to thank everyone who let me read their Glitch in the Matrix stories this evening. Also, one of these lovely people that let me narrate their story, Wildberry Quilting, has their own YouTube channel. So if you're into quilting, please check them out. Their links will be in the description/show notes, guys. I personally think this is a great collection of different kinds of glitches that seem to be able to happen. We got time slipping, dimension hopping possibly, objects moving and appearing in new places. information changing that you were sure you knew about, aka the Mandela effect. It just was a really cool little collection, I think, and I hope you guys agree. And, of always, I hope you enjoyed these stories. And if you did enjoy these stories, please hit that like button and make sure it feels it. If you're new, please subscribe and turn that pretty little bell to all notifications. And if you're on the podcast and are on a platform that allows it, please leave me a review. And if you're on Spotify, there are also questions that you can answer if you like as well. And as always, guys, I would absolutely love a comment. Tell me which story you liked the most, what kind of stories you like me to do in the future, what you think I should be focusing in the future, anything you like. I absolutely love reading comments and replying to them. And if you'd like to help this channel and podcast grow, please share it with anyone who might enjoy it. It helps quite a bit, and I get to reach new people who also enjoy, well, me narrating. And if you'd like to help in other ways, I do have Patreon and memberships, where depending on what tier you get different bonuses, but you always get early access with it, even for just a dollar. If you'd like to just do a one-time thing, I also have Super Thanks, PayPal, and Buy Me a Coffee as well. But as always, guys, thank you for watching and listening. It always has and always will mean the world to me. I really enjoy narrating these stories, and I love to hear what your guys' thoughts are and knowing that other people are enjoying them as well. Sleep tight, and don't let 42 bite.